All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome back to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and it is Saturday, so normally I record these on a Friday, but I've been waiting to see what happens with the Instagram page as I near the 1,000 mark, which is, it's a small fry thing really, but from a mental perspective in terms of seeing the channel progress and starting to build some sort of following, that is quite a big milestone. So we're at 994 at the moment. So if you haven't already, then head over to the Instagram page at Rengineering UK and give us a follow. It'll really help. And you never know, if six of you do that, then I hit my lovely 1,000 mark and I can celebrate that for a bit. So what else have we got coming up then? The Flat Six Show. Absolutely love it. It was one of my favorite events I've been to so far. That's on the 8th. I shall be there. I've got paddock space. Very frequently, I will bump into somebody and have a great little conversation. So I'm just going to wear a Lavalier mic, a little lapel mic from now on, and I'm going to try and capture some Your Pusher stories on the fly. So if you see me at one of the events and we get chatting, chances are I'll ask you if you're happy to do a Your Pusher story on that spot. So if you're not familiar with the Your Pusher story setup, it's 5-minute conversations, 5-10 minute conversations about you, your history with the brand, the car you own right now, what your plans are for the future, and that's pretty much it. So I released one a couple of weeks back with Nick, who had a 981 Boxster S in Lava Orange, 718. But there's hopefully be loads more of those. But if you're interested and you want to actually do one specially that you're not an event, but you want to be involved in that, then chuck me a DM at Rengineering UK on Instagram and we can set something up. So what else has happened then? I was told about a collecting cars listing for a 996 generation GT3 that finished. It was a left-hand drive car, so if I'm from the UK, so the left-hand drive cars are typically go for a little less. But what an opportunity if you lived in Europe and you bought a left-hand drive car in this country and then took it back to Europe and registered it there. It's perfect, right? So, but that car went for £36,000 for a GT3. Now, unless there's something fundamentally wrong with that car, like it's bananaed or it's got a grenaded engine and needs a complete rebuild. Even if it needed a rebuild, that sounds really cheap. Like frighteningly cheap. Even if it had a ton of miles, it's still really cheap. And it kind of prompted the thinking of, well, what does that mean for the rest of the industry? What does it mean for the used cars, used Porsche at the moment? I think it's a hang on to what you got. Unless you desperately need to let it go, now is not the time to let those cars go. So, because any GT3 is worth more than 36 grand. So, if I'd have seen it, I'd have been tempted myself. Even though I adore my Cayman, 36 grand for a GT3, it's just bonkers. And honestly, it's exactly the same with 993 Andy on Instagram, Andy Brooks of Nine Works Radio fame. Gustavo, the 993, was up for sale and again sold way too cheap. And that car was not just nice, it was spotless. And that sold for just under £60,000. 1994 993 Carrera. But I mean, even saying 993 Carrera undersells it, because it was just a, and I've said this to Andy before, my favorite 993. Absolutely stunning. So it really begs the question on what's going on with the market right now. I was gobsmacked when that car went for less than £60,000. And I think it's probably fair to say that car was pretty much perfect. I don't think I'd have changed a single thing. So it's quite shocking when you see some of these cars, you know, a GT3 going for 36 and a pretty well-known Nine Works, you know, magazine featured car that goes for less than 60. When you think about, you know, Golfs and early Series 1 Ford Escort RS Turbos going for that or more, something seems a bit backwards here. So maybe it's an opportunity. Maybe if in the market, then buy is a great time to buy. It's just not a good time if you've pumped a load of money into your car to then kind of let it go and stick it out in the marketplace. So interesting, though. What are your thoughts? What do you think's the... what's the direction heading of the market? What does it look like internationally? What does it look like in Europe? Does it make sense to go and buy a right-hand drive car in Europe that's typically going to sell for less and bring it back to the UK or vice versa? Or shipping across the Atlantic, you know? What about bringing the left-hand drive car over from the States to the UK? If it's small enough, you know, these air-cooled cars are tiny, so it's not like... you know, you're going to have to sort of slide across your seats to try and pay for a toll or something. So, yeah, very interesting anyway. But, yeah, let me know what your thoughts are. Jump me a DM and we'll catch back up on this in the future and maybe track it and see what the Porsche market does over the next few months. Singer have released a new car, which is reasonably unexpected. It is a DLS Turbo restoration and it's super aggressive. I mean, it's... there's wide arch and then there's this. I mean, this thing is, it's, yeah, a bit of a monster really. The jury's out for me. If I'd have seen a render of this, an early render, I'd have probably said, well, I hope they dial it down a couple of notches. Just looking at it, and I'm looking at a picture of it right now, I'm sure it's functional, right? I'm sure they're very clever guys there. I just look at it and think it now looks a bit almost cartoonish. Side exit exhaust, which, yeah, I get that, totally understand that. Sort of a BBS multi-spoke wheel, very motorsport oriented. It's got the classic ducktail, huge wide arches with some air scoops down the side for intercoolers, I guess. The side window's got that classic air ducting into the engine bay now, and that's kind of across the DLS range. Lots of the detail, and I'm absolutely convinced if you stood there in person and saw it, it would look amazing. For me, though, I think they peaked with the DLS. The Safari that they did with Tut Hill was pretty amazing as well, but I hope they don't lose sight of what their kind of sense of purpose is and it all kind of being purposeful. You know, it's like a highly stylized car, but it still has a sense of its restraint, I think is the word I'm looking for. So... but I'm going to be at Goodwood Festival of Speed in a couple of weeks, and I'm convinced the Singer will be there, and I will do something live. I'll do a waffle episode live and talk you through again, reflect back on maybe these thinking now and what I actually think in person. So that's Singer. What else have we got for you? Oh, yeah, I know what else I was going to talk to you about. So I've mentioned before that I'm on a Euro trip at the end of July, so the 23rd to the 1st of August. And I've been planning this content out quite a lot, really, because I want it to be kind of really the best sort of cinematic work I've done to date. So, but I'm traveling alone, right? It's a solo trip. So the trickiness with that is, how do you get good content without someone filming you? So that then relies on a bit of trust, I guess. If you start, you know, setting up a tripod on the side of the road and you do a drive off, and I mean, that we've all seen that when we watch YouTube videos, somebody tearing off down the road. Well, you'd either have a chunk of trust and you'd be like, well, fingers crossed my camera's there when I get back, or you'd have somebody there and then they do that kind of panning shot to watch you drive away. I'm gonna have to do that. I'm gonna be in the Alps, so the passing traffic's gonna be less. But that's going to get pretty samey, right? So I decided to buy a drone. And here we go with the scope creep. So initially I was like, well, yeah, I could get some really good aerial shots of kind of the roads I'm going to be driving on. You know, it's going to be pretty easy to stay within the confines of the rules and regulations of the airspace at that point, because you're, you know, in the middle of nowhere. So you're not going to be near an airport, not going to be near a load of people, should be fairly safe. Then I thought, what would really be great is a tracking shot of me snaking through the passes and stuff, and having this drone following me. So then the hunt was on to try and find a drone that had that tracking functionality. And I've ended up with a DJI Mini 3 Pro with the RC controller. Now, the RC controller means you don't typically, when you get a drone, you'd have to connect your phone as your screen, right? So if you wanted to kind of see what the drone is seeing, you'd have to have that connected. The RC controller has an inbuilt screen, which is fantastic. All the reviews come back amazing. So I'm excited about that. I have no drone flying experience. I'm not a drone pilot. Before I go, I will certify with the CAA. I'll do some training. I can't work in aviation as an engineer and then sidestep all the important stuff. I'm actually off to the European Space Agency with my day job next week to sort of talk to some of the drone operators and some of the companies that are in this space. So it'd be good to get their feedback and take on it as well. So, but that's it, right? So the plan is to get some, the best content I can in terms of a shoot. And this, over the next few weeks, I'll talk to you more about this, but I'm going to try if I can to do a daily vlog, and I'll load some of that stuff up on the YouTube channel or as shorts or on Instagram, just to kind of bring you into the mix, really bring you on the journey with me. I do recognize that people do Euro trips all the time, and for some it might not be a particularly exciting thing if you've been to the Alps dozens and dozens of times, but I haven't been before, and I'm guessing lots of other people haven't. So getting that kind of insight should be hopefully something you guys will really enjoy. So winding back the clock a little bit here, actually, it's this is from Flat 6 last year, but it's a good opportunity to sort of showcase a little bit what the show is about, and you get to catch up with me, Mick, and Henry. So Mick is at GT4_Winchester on Instagram, and Henry, bless him, is Moomars GT3. Anyway, this is us crapping on for a little while, but I hope you enjoy anyway, and enjoy. Clapped us in there, so
we're
recording, mate.
Oh, first one.
Yeah. Welcome back to Rengineering Waffle. Say again, Connor?
Can we check that it's recording?
It was a second ago. Let me just make sure, actually. Yeah, it's still recording. welcome back to Rengineering. This is Waffle. So we are at Goodwood for Flat 6. I'm with your co-host, Mick. Morning, Mick.
Morning.
Afternoon.
That's hot. What's when we got here?
It was, yeah. And I was watching the last episode of Stranger Things. So.
Oh, yeah.
You've been here, what, twice in the last 2 weeks?
Yes. Well, I was here Monday on a Porsche Club track day.
Yeah.
And back here today for the Flat 6 event.
Let's talk about the track day first then. So something you mentioned literally just before we came on live. Two Carrera Ts broke down on a track day?
One definitely broke down.
Yeah.
So it was in, I don't know if you know how the Porsche Club track days work. It's pretty similar to this.
Yeah.
They only let you go out in groups of six.
Okay.
So it was start of the day, there was five groups of six.
Yeah.
And in my group, there was a Carrera T. And
right,
we came back into the pits after our first time round.
Yeah.
And there was smoke everywhere.
Oh.
It sounded like it was misfiring.
Did it? The misfiring is probably a coil pack, but the smoke?
Yeah,
that
smoke.
Isn't good.
It looked like, my expertise is pretty zero, but it looked like it could have been a turbo seal blown.
Mate, that sucks. I hope the guy's got warranty, or the woman that's got warranty.
He did mention that as he drove off, but it's not a cheap day car to break down on the first go out.
Oh, man. It was the first session as well, wasn't
first
it?
First session,
Oh, God.
So you do 15-minute sessions, and then there was five groups of six cars at the start of the day.
Yeah.
After lunch, it was whittled down to four groups, and then by the end of the day, there was two groups. So we were basically going out, coming back in, having a quick breather, then going out again.
Yeah, I just saw Scott from Barnsport actually, and he was just going on his last pre-lunch circuit, so actually, he had a great time as well. You had a good time though.
Brilliant time. Yeah, I had an instructor with me.
Okay, cool.
First time.
Have you had an instructor with you before?
No, never. Okay. And I wanted to do it during COVID, but we weren't allowed to do that, the instructor sessions during COVID. So I got Rob Colburn down from, he lives in Oxford Way, and he was fantastic.
So hang on, you hooked up with him, but nothing to do with the track day?
You just said,
look, I want to book you for a day's tuition.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I got him all day, and he was quite good because he had these microphone and headset stuff, so we rigged it up so he didn't have to shout.
Was it good? break, yeah. break.
he's doing a lot of that, yeah. After the first session, yeah, it was, Mick, you need to stamp on the brakes, especially.
Really. Flat out and then absolutely yeah. on the brakes.
So round at Levant to Woodcote, you're doing over 140 down there. And we've just walked, me and Maura just walked around there, because yeah. the brake sign's in the wrong place.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it the wrong place for non-PCCB owners?
For my talent, it's in the wrong place.
Right, right,
it's,
right. It's about, way too late.
Yeah, it's yeah. it's way too close to the
corner.
To
the corner entry, yeah.
So I was braking just before the 200-metre board. Right. The brake board's on 150-metre board, so.
Right, okay.
But you're literally stamping on the brake and keep the nose down and then drop down a cog.
Right,
let
okay.
it swing around into towards the chicane and down another cog.
And you had what, everything off at that point, or you still had some safety net?
I had all traction control on.
On,
yeah.
Okay, should we have a keep walking, mate?
Yeah,
I'm just conscious that we're going to leave them. Yeah. Cool. So that tuition went well. Do you feel like you got plenty out of it? That this helped you?
Definitely, yeah. Things like, you know, they always say, look where you're. Look to the next corner and stuff like that. But it's having that reminder on your shoulder. So you're looking more out the side windows than you're out the main window.
Yeah,
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's the first time my passengers ever, my passenger drivers told me to go quicker, which is nice.
Cool. So how many laps do you reckon you got at this point?
I've got no idea.
Just kept going. Focusing on what you're doing at the time, rather than.
Yeah, and it was a really good day. It was a lovely day, it was warm, it was sunny, no issues with wet track or anything like that.
Which is a bonus.
Yeah.
Because it's not forgiving here, is it?
Sorry, Paul.
It's not forgiving. If you get it wrong here, it tends to be, unless if you're unlucky, it's a pretty nasty place to go off. So.
Yeah, it's a fast track.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I say that as if I know. The only time I've ever been around this track is by a cycling event, and I did 34 laps.
Wow.
Cycling, yeah, not
at least it's quite flat. It's better than doing 34 laps around Brands Hatch.
Yes, mate. God, that would be horrendous. Cool. But car performed well.
Yep.
It was no issues. No, you didn't chew through any PCCBs and.
No, they all seem to be in one piece.
Yeah.
Tyres seem to be okay. Tyres held up well because they're cut twos on the GT4.
Of course they are. Yeah. Feathering on the edges and stuff, all got all that lovely, because that's a true sign. Is I always look, I've been walking around today at Flat Six and all the RSs and stuff, and just looking at the side of the tyres, seeing if they got that lovely kind of, you know, where you start melting the edge of the tyre. That looks so cool. Stupid, but it's cool to me.
I haven't checked them actually, the side on you. I'll have a look when I get back.
Very nice, mate. So just walking past, if the B-roll picks this up, great, I'll insert it here, but there is a it's not Ruby Star, is it? It's Ruby Stone. Yeah, Ruby Stone 964 Carrera RS. Oh. Thanks to the guy that just did that, it's probably blown all the levels out. Just gonna have a quick look at this RS sec. So building my car, one of the things I'm going to do, and I've been umming and ahhing about this, Mick, is the centre panels of the seats.
Yeah.
I've been going on about getting green and black houndstooth for ages. I'm tempted to get that tricolour, but in green, so different levels of green, rather than just to kind of like pay homage to this car, because this is definitely one of my favourites.
Well, you know, I've been pontificating about doing my seat.
You've been pontificating for about a year and a half.
I keep flitting between tartan and Pasha.
Yeah.
I've just I'm at Pasha, I think.
You're still on Pasha, okay.
Yeah.
And is this just in place doing it, or was this somewhere else?
No, probably be Porsche Trimmer in Stockbridge, so Southbound Trimmers is other name.
Yes, yeah.
It's local to me, so it's about 5 miles away, so it's
cool.
It's nice and close.
And they've got the fabric, yeah, and they showed us the fabric. They've
got
swatches,
they've got all the fabric, yeah. The only one they haven't got is the it's like a black and bronzy one. That's the only one. I think that's no longer produced anywhere.
Okay. What's your preference so far? Have you got all the Pashas? Where have you got to with them?
I like the black and grey one. Okay. I don't know what the correct term is for it, but that's probably my favourite one, I think. And I think that will go with the interior of my car as well. Yeah. So it's,
So you've been pontificating about it. What's stopping you? Because it's been a while that we've spoken about this.
So Porsche Trimmer hasn't got the designs for the seats for the 918 bucket. I did say I'll get down there and he can take. But now it's a summer season. I don't want to get rid of lose a seat at the moment.
Which is a shame, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll look after you a little bit of the price if it's the first set he's done.
Yeah.
Which would be quite nice. Oh, how did I not see that? So just turned around and there is it's pretty much cream of the crop, isn't it? It's not even a 3.8, it's a 997.2 911 GT3 RS 4-litre in black wheels, PCCB obviously. With the grey and red stripes down the side, and again, if I've caught some video of this, I'll do a little panning shot. In fact, I'll do something with my phone because I can't guarantee that I've actually got something. I won't want to put this in. Parked right outside of the toilets. I was going to make a really awful joke then about why you'd need the toilet afterwards, but I'll probably cut that out. Yeah, what a beast. So all that makes the little details for this for me, and I know it's the GT3s anyway, but I get really excited about the sticker instead of the badge. I mean, it's a completely ridiculous thing to get excited about.
Weight saving.
It is weight saving. Maybe we should say like 3 grams. But then by the canards on the side, probably add 3 grams. Yeah, super cool. Thought about being a Goodwood member? Are you?
No. Not a member, not a fellowship member either.
No. Thinking about it or just not that bothered?
Not really bothered because we get the tickets through members work, meeting through work. So
yeah, that's true.
There's
little to be gained.
Not yet.
Little to be gained.
Not yet, no. So there's not much point at the moment.
So what else have you seen? What have you, since walking around, because like you've been here longer than I have, did you get a chance to walk
Gunther Works.
Oh, mate, should we go have a look at Gunther Works? I don't know where.
I put a video up earlier.
Did you?
Yeah,
you got straight in
there. So there's a Gunther Works over there somewhere.
The green one. With the sort of...
It's a dot. I can't remember the colour now.
Oh, mate, come on.
I know, I'm terrible.
92 years old.
I know, I've got a sieve like a memory. You can use that one, Paul.
Thanks.
What colour was it?
I'm sure it was green. I can't, unless there was another one that was here.
That was nice. Yeah, it's sort of dark green, isn't
it? Yeah, it's dark green, and I think it's got like very nice, and it's got what looks to be the satin aurum wheels.
Yes, doesn't come out that well on the phone.
No, very good, and it's got the relief painted, so the stripes are just the carbon.
Yeah,
which looks. Oh, mate, I'm all about the detail and the. Yeah. When we were at Goodwood, this lot here actually for Festival of Speed, there was the 928. Which was nice, but I noticed some of the detail wasn't there.
Yeah.
I'm such a funny thing for like fixings and latches and all that stuff that people don't generally look at. That's my test of like how dedicated to doing this properly is someone.
Yeah.
The Gunther Works is, it's everything.
Everything is
right.
Carbon.
Everything, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very impressive bit of kit.
So you're going to try and find it then?
Yes, let's go and have a look. Let's go and have a look. Any other standouts for you so far?
What else have I seen? There was a couple of the guys that I was on the track day with on Monday are here.
Yeah.
So Steve's in his orange GT3 RS. I was pointing out to Moira earlier where he overtook me on the track on Monday, which is several places.
Fair enough.
No, he's here. He's got a really nice GT3 RS.
Yeah.
And he's got the orange tartan seat inserts.
Okay.
So that's how I know it's his.
Yeah.
There's a Kermit GT3 next. That's his friend as well. So they both come down together. Guy's here in his GT3. What else have we seen? You know what? So much stuff here, Paul. I was just saying, I've never seen so many Porsches here before at Goodwood. It's almost like simply Porsche.
Yeah, but, it's just it's relentless, isn't
it?
Yeah, I've said this a couple of times before, but less so here, actually. I find it not too bad here, but quite often I go to these events. Oh, it's definitely Goodwood, actually. And when I put the video up about Goodwood, you get so saturated with amazing stuff that you find yourself wandering past cars that you'd spend an hour just looking at if they were on their own. So we've just walked under the tunnel now, so we're in the main area.
And just outside the paddock, which is where we are now, we've just walked over to Gunterworks. So let's have a perv over the Gunterworks car. I didn't even know there was any in this country, to be fair, so it's impressive that someone's... Unless Gunterworks have brought it over for probably Festival of Speed, actually. Or
yeah.
I didn't see it there, but...
I've never seen one before, so it's a, you know, you see Singer at the Festival of Speed, but I've never seen a Gunterworks before.
And I think it looks better in person than it does in videos and pictures.
Yeah, the details are, like you said, the finer details, spot on.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's much more cohesive than it looks in... So I've watched Matt Farah's Gunterworks videos, because he's done a few now, hasn't he? Did
yeah.
the initial kind of delivery. I think he was saying that there's too much track width and it was a bit kind of understeery, but they've adjusted it and dialed a few bits in and now it's kind of spot on. So, yeah. So far, everything I've seen so far, that is that's the winner for me.
Yeah.
Cool. Very nice. Very nice.
Well, we were lucky enough earlier, he flushed it up and he gave it a few loud revs,
yeah,
which was quite nice. So we heard it in the flesh as well, seeing it.
Very nice, very nice. I don't think I've ever asked you before. What is your? Are you more modern Porsche or kind of old stuff, non-9 drag transverse? You know, what's your kind of go-to? Because obviously you're on GT4, but do you appreciate all this older stuff?
I do appreciate the older stuff. You know, that's a lot. I sort of grew up with the older stuff, really.
Yeah.
When I was on it, like Michael Bath asked me what was my first memory of Porsche, and it was probably my dad used to take me and my brother to Brands Hatch, and we were lucky enough, I think it was a European Grand Prix in the early to mid 80s, and they had all of the Le Mans, they did a Le Mans parade lap of all of the 917K.
And I mean, I did listen to the.
Yeah, Steve McQueen's yeah. Golf one was there, Martini
really?
Golf. Oh, it's that, yeah. Yeah, it's gorgeous. In the golf colours, you know, the light blue and orange. And that's my first real memory.
With golf colours, mate, I don't even think that they work on most things. And yeah, you see something, you see a 917 or, you know, something that's old.
Yeah.
Then you just, you kind of stop looking at everything else and you're just fixated on that. So, very nice.
Yeah, so that's I like it. I like it all, really. You know, I'd love to have an older one, but...
Project car.
Yeah.
But no, the Scooby's gone.
Yeah.
So, again, for those of you that don't, go follow GT4. Underscore Winchester, and that's Mick's account, and you'll see in there. Did you post anything on the Scooby in that account or not?
Not really, no.
No, just the
GT4. Just the GT4, yeah.
Yeah, but Mick sold his Scooby recently, so he's. Was that the project car? That's had some work.
That was a bit like Trigger's Broom, really.
Is it?
So, yeah, you know when it gets to that insurance time every year, like. And the form comes out, is the car modified? And you're like, yes. And you're better off telling them which bits aren't modified than which bits aren't, because it's easier.
Yeah. So you do need a project now, that's gone.
I'm too busy, Paul, at the moment.
Do you reckon?
The GT4, I'm, the GT4's enough for me at the moment.
Fair enough.
At the moment.
Yeah. But, we'll see in time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, the Scooby was... My dad bought it when he was on his 60th birthday in 2002.
Oh, right. I didn't realise it was your birthday.
Yeah, and then he got to 2013, I think it was, and they were just about to stop the Impreza.
Hmm.
So Subaru UK phoned my dad up and said, we got 200 left.
Right.
And then my dad, like me, pontificated.
Right.
And then by the time he phoned him up, there was only 13 left.
Wow.
So he made his decision there. So he went and bought the last bunch of the Impreza. And then he said, I've got this, do you want to buy it off me? So I said, yeah, I'll take it.
How many miles did he put on it?
He'd done about 70,000 miles.
Oh, right, so he used it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a used car, wasn't it? Kind of stuck in the garage or something.
Yeah. And then...
How many miles did you
put? I put 65 on it. So
all right, so you used it.
I got to about 135,000.
Yeah. How many bottom ends at that point?
None. So that's one of the reasons. For those of you who don't know, the bottom ends of the Subaru are the chocolate part of the engine. But if they're rebuilt properly, then, you know, and there's some really good rebuilders. You know, there's Engine Tuner in Plymouth. Scooby for You, I think, it's in Newbury. And there's another company up north somewhere. I can't remember what they're called now. But there's several...
There's places
that you take your engine to them. and they'll rebuild it for you.
Yeah, and sort out all the kind of inherent issues around the car. Though. Yes. I mean, these cars are 20 years old, yeah. So you anything that's going to go wrong, yeah, has gone wrong.
And most of them recommend you upstroke the 2 litre to 2.1. Yeah. And then and more power. Yes. And the gearbox can take 600 brake horsepower.
Really? So that's not weak, it's
no.
Just
the bottom end.
Anyway, yeah. Have you been down to Nine Works and that kind of area?
I've been, yeah, which is where we're parked over that way.
Oh, that's where you're parked, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll have a quick wander around again, and then we'll, I think, probably wrap up in a sec. But yeah, it's the first time. Have they run a flat? Is this the first show?
I think so. I don't remember them being one before. But they've got the RPM stand here. They've got the Manchester Racing,
yes,
GT4 there. And this guy was super quick on track as well, in the GT3 RS, the blue GT3 RS.
The blue one, right, okay. It's got your number plate there, mate, as well.
Yeah.
For those that didn't, well, you won't be able to see it because I've not shot this, but Fast Myth has got on the back of it.
There's two 959s here as well.
Is there?
There's one there and there's one there.
I think I was in full B-roll mood.
And the GT4 RS I didn't
see earlier. Yeah, and again, I think probably wandered straight past that, which is insane, isn't it? In speed yellow.
Yeah.
There is a, it's complete overkill for me, but there's a carbon fibre frunk that's on eBay at the moment for $3,000.
That fits any?
For this, fits 718 and 981, because it's the same bonnet shape.
Yeah.
Mate.
Do you know if this has lift?
Say again?
Do you know if this has a lift kit?
I've not a clue, no idea. I know you can get lift for it, can't you? Yeah. I'm pretty sure you can.
It's not an option on the GT4.
Can you retrofit it? There must be a retrofit. You probably can, but then you're probably out of warranty and you've got all that to contend with. Yeah, proper bit of kit though. And yeah, we just Sport Classic. Again, these seems to be the kind of the common theme at the moment for the last few videos, but yeah, 997.2 Sport Classic. And I don't think I'm ever going to tire of looking at these things. I think I could sit with a deck chair and just stare at it all day.
I do like I'm not really a stripe man, but I like the two-tone stripes on these.
I think probably because it, or for me anyway, I agree, and I think it's like a shade darker. It's not like a completely different contrast, it's just a shade. Less is more, right?
Yeah.
Very cool with Fuchs. Although Fuchs, you cut to put Fuchs on something modern is really hard.
Yeah.
Generally doesn't work, but they, again, they got the fitment right, it's absolutely spot on and fantastic. Good job, Porsche. Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, the two 959s they got here. Did you see the 356 going around the track earlier as well?
Hey, I missed that as well. Oh.
Fair play.
This is what happens when you get up late, watch Stranger Things, and then turn up to a show late as well. You miss half the good stuff. Very nice. This green, so we're next to a, 6, very early 60s, probably 66, 67 maybe, or something like that.
I would
and,
say
I don't know, is that signal green or lizard? It's not lizard,
it's not lizard green, no.
And I don't know what the colour is, but I'd love to see someone do a PTS in this, because I'm not sure that even when you get the new stuff, it's quite the same shade, but it looks mega, love it. Porsche Classic Partner. Very nice. Stickers on the side windows. I need to find out where that came from. I don't know yet. And I did it for when I first had my Cayman, and then took them all off when I sold it. And yeah.
That means you've got to go back to Caffeine and Machine.
I need to go back and go to the same places and collect them all again. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Did we get one from Ace Cafe, Did we get any stickers from up there?
I don't think so. I do need to go back and check some of these places out again, definitely. So we're kind of walking over to the back area now where the platform, race platform is, that you can watch the start, finish straight.
I think there was
Paul Stevens here as well now.
I think there's a rough over it, or roof, however you pronounce it, over there
is,
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the Paul Stevens stuff.
Paul Stevens stuff. So when I first went to Petrolicious in 2019, they did a driver's event at Bicester Heritage, and that was the first time I saw this, and I was talking to the guys that designed it, and I just think they got that absolutely right out of the box. Such a good, and I did get some B-roll of this, so yeah, very cool car. Very nice. Cool, okay. Well, it's been a good little walk around. I'm conscious that we've probably been going for 15, 20 minutes and yeah, I'm going to switch off and enjoy the rest of the day. Yeah.
Before, what do you think of yellow lights?
I think they suck and I don't know why. I think it's a styling thing, then I get it. Yeah. Yeah, and Andy actually that owns
he had them on his before, didn't he?
He did, yeah. So we're talking about Nineworks, Andy. I forget his Instagram title, but it's the red 964. Is it
963.
903, sorry, yeah.
With a
stripe kit and the rotiforms, and he's just rebuilt it. In fact, I mean, again, as far as favourites go, it's right up there for me. So, but yeah, I prefer without. I don't get it. I think it's a style over substance thing. But then I've done loads of stuff over the years that's, had absolutely no point either, so.
Did he have that ducktail on before? Whale tail? Ducktail?
I don't know, actually. I don't think he'd, I remember it being kind of the classic shape, so I think maybe you're right. But the work that he's done to this, and pretty much all himself, I think, has been phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, it was touch and go whether he'd get it here today.
So I
listened to the podcast the other day, the Nine Works podcast, and it's been off the road since October.
Yeah,
he's had all the suspension done. He's had it all blasted underneath.
Yeah.
It's all treated underneath.
Everything's brand new, isn't it, basically, yeah.
And
I saw he MOT'd it.
Just got
MOT'd
by Barnesport, Scott at Barnesport last week, I think.
Yeah.
Or 2 days ago, you said.
Oh, I think it was 2 or 3 days ago, yeah. It
looks lower, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think it's brilliant. I absolutely love this thing. I don't know whether he designed the stripe kit or somebody else did, but it doesn't get much better than that for me.
He gets a bit of grief about the stripes.
Does he?
Yeah.
Who gives him... Well, if you're giving them grief about those stripes, you don't know what you're on about. I think that's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And even things like... So I think he's Cerakoted the tips, the exhaust tips. Again, I'm a details guy, and I think you could quite... Most people wouldn't bother, right? They just leave the tips as they are. And actually to go to the extent where it's like, no, I think I just want to make them disappear, but still have something. Yeah, perfect.
What was good about this, he did most of the work himself.
Yeah.
So he saved. You reckon he saved about $5,000 in labour?
I bet he did. Yeah, probably more. I'd have
thought. So if you're a bit handy Andy, then you can have a run an old 993 or 964 if you can get an older one. That is.
That, and I think the hard bit is bodywork, right?
So yeah.
As with all old 911s, it's dealing with rust and corrosion parts and stuff. And when you get to this standard,
you're right.
Hello, mate. Good to see you.
On time.
Good to see you. Yeah. How are you?
I'm Henry, by the way.
Hi, Henry. I'm Mick.
Hi, Mick. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Andy's handiwork. It's smart.
It's a great car, isn't it? He's done such a good job.
Yeah.
What's been your favourite car so far? You had to check the gun to work stuff out? You've been over to look at that?
I like the effort they've put in.
Yeah.
I actually don't think that suits it.
Okay.
I really like opposite, but it's just the colour. The GT2, I presume it's got some kind of Manti or Manti S spec on it, but it's got like a really nice kind of greyish blue hue.
Right.
I think that looks pretty nice, but it's interesting actually. You see so many modern 911s, so it's just the older ones that are standing out. So just some of that, and I love that Safari one over there. That one looks pretty amazing with the sort of Magnus Walker-esque treatment.
I'm
really enjoying the 914s actually.
Yeah, what they've got a wide arch. I'm sure I've got some B-roll on this, but is it 9146 with the wide arches? I don't know. I'm not brilliant with my
9146. I had no idea they were so rare. And I haven't seen one in probably about 10, 15 years until there's the graffiti one there, which is obviously a resto mod, and I think there's at least one resto mod that's been quite sort of widely sort of...
That was amazing. Have you seen the paint job on that one?
In a minute. But there used to be, when I was a kid, like maybe 5, 10 years old, there used to be one just a couple of roads up.
Yes.
And because almost none came to the UK. They weren't popular at all. But I thought it was just one of those cars, and I didn't like it because it looked a bit boxy and it didn't look after it that well. It was already old by that time.
Yeah.
I actually think it's a really good classic look now. And you, as a resto mod, it's got almost the perfect shape to just do something different.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything that's completely played out because there's so few of them. So it's not like you're going to get the clone stamp, everyone's doing the same thing.
Exactly.
And they suit Fuchs as well. They look great on Fuchs.
They do. But actually, looking at that, I prefer the green one. I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if the wider arch suits it. I do think the Fuchs suits it. But
yeah.
I like the compactness of the green one.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, it's good to see two of them next to each other like that, because you can see the different styles, can't you?
You know, if you go back 10 or 15 years, I don't know if we'd see 914s at a show at all.
Yeah.
They were kind of not the thing, were they?
No one liked them.
No.
Exactly.
And they were sort of, you know, eBay listings were ending at 500 quid and things like that. And now, I mean, you're right, I think they've really come into their own and they're getting the attention
they deserve. I have no idea what they like to drive. Absolutely. I don't even know what engine was put in them. I'm guessing it was like a 912.
It would have been a derivative of the 912. It's bound to be, isn't it? I can't imagine they put, I mean, again, well, tell you what,
where do you
comments,
fit anything bigger than four cylinders in it?
2 litre?
Maybe. Those people, right, in the comments, stick some links in as to what the history of the 914 is. We'll do a heritage with somebody that knows something about 914s. Just need to dig into them a little bit more. So, yeah. Good. Hey, Henry, thanks for coming in and saying hello.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't realise I was interrupting this until
No, you're welcome.
Halfway through,
it's waffle anyway, so it's nothing that's...
How's the project coming along? So I've seen you put
Starting
an intro
post.
And then you've...
Starting to post. So the project's going to be a while because I want to build an audience up before we sort of go out and canvas for students and stuff. So yeah, it's going to be a little while. But so we're going to start turning to events and shooting things and stuff about my car and Mick's car. And
what do you drive, Mick? Sorry.
I've got a GT4. That's the black and gold one just around there.
Oh, actually, that's one thing. I really like, there's a really beautiful ruby stone GT4.
Yes.
A week or two old, I spoke to the guy, and he's got a Chelsea in there, so I was asking about
good
that.
Good lad.
How does that work?
Imagine being the kid that grows up with that. Yeah.
There's two GT4s, aren't they? They both got child seats in them, haven't they?
Yeah, I don't know what shade of blue next to it, but so I took photos of both the seats to find out what make they are.
Whoever you are with the Ruby Star GT4, good lad.
That suits, that colour suits this generation again, so the 992 GT3s in that colour. It's a shame there's more than just one of them now, because if I was in the market, that's what I'd get. But
is that what you get?
You can't. Yeah, but you.
Where's your car, mate?
One batch down, one pedal.
We do need to go and have a. You know, we said this before. I need to come and do a whole thing. Your car, you know, deserves a.
What
good hour.
Henry?
I've got a very leggy 997.1 GT3. So we're at 182,500
mile
right now.
I met you at Bournemouth Porsche. Are you the moon? The moon miles. Miles. Yes.
Yeah.
I think I followed you out of.
Mixed it for a brain again, kicking.
Yes. Here you go.
No. I'm not the biggest Instagrammer, but I'll keep it ticking along. The previous owner set it up, but once in a while I post a few things. Yeah. Actually, the one thing I did put on that people were most interested in, I got a bunch of questions when I got the whole underside decontaminated, and then. Any kind of little bits of rust, to be honest, it's pretty clean, but I got the whole thing rust protected. A load of people asked me about after that.
What's your Instagram handle again, mate? It's
Moonmiles GT3.
Moonmiles GT3, there you go. Go and have a look at Moonmiles GT3 and get the whole kind of backstory on where that came from. What you picked up with how many miles on the clock? Just over 100, wasn't it?
I picked up pretty recently 178, 179. Oh, wow, I've not put the miles on. There was one guy of a I forget how long, maybe 5-6 years, was doing 20,000 mile a year, just taking it to continental Europe, driving up and down. I think somehow connected with whatever it is that he did, but that was just his daily.
Well, hang on a sec. I'm wondering if, so this isn't, because there's a Carlin Piston Heads reader's rides that the guy, I don't know, but he uses it to commute and drops parts for race cars off all over Europe.
That's different, because I know the thread. That's something like Knackered 996.
That's it, yeah.
So he's got, so he had, do you know Jethro Bovington's 996?
Yeah.
He had that one beforehand, which was a C2, and that's done a fair few miles.
Right.
And then he traded that in to get a C4, and he's done over 300,000 miles. He works for an F1 team, and he used to overnight just deliver race parts into Europe from what I remember of the.
What a job, eh?
Yeah, it sounds amazing, but because it's super techie and just creative with what he can think of for cars, he's got ancillary fuel tanks placed in loads of different locations. Like if you look in the front, it's just full of a fuel tank essentially, which basically means he can just bomb through from
7 or 8 hours
Calais to the other side of Europe in just one go, and is there. He wanted the four-wheel drive for the all kind of year conditions. I think that's probably why he traded it in. And he's done so much different stuff to it. I think he's got an auto farm engine, but then I think it only went bang after about 300,000 miles with him, or maybe it didn't even go bang and just got it redone. but the last time I checked, he was trying to put Kurs in it. I wish I could remember some of the other bits in the thread, because I'll find the link and I'll chuck a link in for the thread
because the thread's like 80 pages.
Oh, it's long. It's called, if it's not exactly, something very similar to Knackered 996.
It's something like that.
But it's my favourite Piss and Heads thread, just to read. Sure. And
try explaining that to your insurance company. Oh, yeah. What if it occurs? Kurs? What's Kurs?
Yeah.
Just a little battery.
Yeah.
Extra little battery in the car. But that's an amazing one. But the guy who had my car, I think previously had a 996 2 GT3 that he put similar miles on, maybe even more. And I don't know what he moved out of mine into, but let's hope he's doing something similar with something else.
And then you can pick that up afterwards.
I'm sticking with this now. I had a 992 GT3 in Germany a month ago, roughly. It was great, it was fast. Really comfortable. So all the stuff that people say about the ride, it follows cambers, all of that, compared to mine, I thought it was like a
boat, like you're just gliding along.
Yeah, like a limousine, but I guess the roads are wider and they're less cambered over there. Yeah. But I've never really driven too much of electric steering. I didn't like it.
Okay.
Because it's weighted well, but it doesn't unweight and weight up the same that a hydraulic rack does. So it's kind of like a computer game. Mm. And it's just too fast for the road. So the most fun I had with it was on the Autobahn, because I'd never done that before, and obviously you can go as fast as you like, so then you weren't exploiting the performance of the handling, but it was just the fact that you could do the top speed. And
did you go for a VMAX run on unrestricted?
Well, I think we got something like 260 K's. I don't know what that is, 160 miles, which was all right. It's the weird thing about it is that no one goes mental. So I was expecting everyone to gun it, because I've never done the Autobahn before. I was expecting everyone to gun it. Okay, admittedly it was a wet day, but people were doing probably the equivalent of 80 or 90, but no one was really doing more than that. So you put a bit on and then you're kind of having to pinch yourself, like, is this legal? Like, am I allowed to do this?
Yeah.
Have I actually understood what the signs mean? Because they had, and I think part of it is the conditions on the day as well, they had a lot of limits on the route with digital signs. I'm like, okay, do I definitely trust that the sign's gone away? Am I sure that I can absolutely cane this as fast as I want? Because, I wouldn't want to do 260 all day. That's too fast. Well, you get through a lot of fuel, but it's too fast for cruising safely, so you just do it as a sort of one-off. And then
I wonder as well, if you do that for a long time, whether you just start to kind of acclimatise to the speed, and then when you need to brake, you're kind of like trying to wind off a lot of speed in a... That would be scary.
I was actually super pleased I backed off at 260, because it was a wet day, but this was getting later. The rain had kind of dried off a little bit. It was still kind of spitting, but I thought it seemed safe. Then there's a slight crest of a hill, and I saw there's a truck coming into the slip road, so I'll slow down for that. I'm not going to go stupid, but as soon as I hit the crest, that absolutely smashed it down with rain. So we were already slowing down at that point. I was pretty relieved, because I don't know what it would have ended up doing there.
I'm sure it would cope. There were lights everywhere, but it had done that.
It was a wet day, and it was not like driving in the wet. It was just coping with anything that we could get. Yeah, amazing car, but just a bit too good in my opinion.
So if you go to weekends, there's no lorries on the road in Germany.
So you haven't got, they're not allowed to?
No, so you haven't got that worry of them pulling out in front of you. Especially on the two-lane auto unrestricted barns.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be...
Yeah, because that's the thing. Much of it is two lanes.
Yes.
Mm.
You've only got that one slow vehicle, and you really have to think.
Foot hovering over the brake.
Yeah.
Is how I explain driving in
what
Germany.
What did you get up to when you were there?
I'm a pussy, mate. I got up to 135.
When you were done.
And then I was pulling out, because people just keep... We were in a two-lane bit.
It's just not worth it.
And people were pulling out.
You need good conditions, you need good visibility.
Yeah.
And you need that space. And you think about as well, even if you feel happy, does someone who is only just happy doing 70, are they going to really appreciate someone like bombing by you in the next lane? Like, not really.
I mean, at least they know that there's a possibility over there, whereas over here you get someone coming past and everyone's like, oh, I wonder what they're doing.
I don't know, it probably is normal to them, but it kind of feels out of courtesy. You need to at least slow down a little bit.
That's fair.
Because you know when you get someone bombing past you, and particularly in a high-sided car, the wind just like gives it a little wobble as you go past.
Good, 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 good. Cool. Look, I think we're going to wrap there. We've been talking for a little while now. Big thanks to Mick. Mick at GC4_Winchester on Instagram. You got a Facebook page as well, or is it just Insta?
Just that one.
Just Insta.
Yeah.
Fine, cool. But Mick's, yeah, so Mick, this is the first time on Waffle. Big thanks to him for joining us. And big thanks to Henry as well for a spontaneous appearance.
Yeah,
we're going to do another thing, a whole thing.
It probably wasn't supposed to be called Waffle until I arrived.
No, mate. You say that, but pretty much everything that Mick and I do is, and generally me, is just Waffle. So, but yeah, thank you very much for joining us. And we'll see you next time. Take care, everybody. Goodbye. Cool.